New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into the barns, and yet our heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all of these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of our Lord. Growing up, we had a Thanksgiving tradition in my family. When we would all sit down to enjoy our Thanksgiving meal, my parents would go around the table, and they would make all of us say one thing that we were thankful for. As a young child, I pretty much hated this practice. All I really wanted to do was gorge myself on macaroni and cheese and stuffing. So when it was my turn to say what I was thankful for, what I was grateful for, I would look over at my sister with a mischievous grin on my face, and I would sarcastically say that I was thankful for her. Now that I am older and I'm out of the sibling rivalry phase, I truly am thankful for my sister. But most of all, I now understand the importance of that family ritual, what my parents were trying to teach us. They were trying to teach us the importance of gratitude. They were trying to teach us the importance of always finding something in our lives to be thankful for. How I understand it now is that by adopting an attitude of gratitude, is that that is what allows us to discover God's abundance in our lives. It is through choosing to be grateful for the things we do have that shifts our attention away from focusing on the things that we don't have or the things that we wish we have. It is by taking the time to notice the many blessings in our lives, and it pulls us out of any state of apathy or depression or any state of worry or despair. It helps us to focus on the good things in our lives, the things that are worth rejoicing about, which is exactly what our passage that Mike read from Joel is about. It's what Joel is helping us to understand. He instructs us to rejoice always, to not be consumed by worry or fears, but to look around. To look around at the many blessings in our lives, the things that we have to be thankful for. He encourages us to give thanks for these things in order to prevent ourselves from becoming overly consumed by worries and fears. Joel emphasizes the importance of focusing on the positive things in our lives and to rejoice about the wondrous things that God has done. And every year when Thanksgiving rolls around, we do this. We give thanks for our friends and for our family members. We give thanks for the roof over our heads and the food in our bellies. Every year on Thanksgiving, we do an inventory of the blessings in our lives, and we offer our deepest gratitude for these things. Our passage from Joel encourages us to do this all of the time, not just on Thanksgiving, but to offer our thanks each and every single day, regardless of what season it is. Essentially, Joel is encouraging us to adopt an attitude of gratitude so that we can discover God's abundance in our lives. This morning, I have a few stories that I wanted to share with you all. The first story pertains to an article that I read about a Holocaust survivor. The article discussed his life in the concentration camp, the years that he was there, the torture that he endured, and the harrowing events that he witnessed. Towards the end of the article, he talked about how he coped with his life in the concentration camp. And he said that he coped by carving into one of the walls of the barracks the Star of David. And underneath that Star of David, on this crumbling wall in his barracks, he wrote these words: "I believe in the sun, even when it does not shine. I believe in love, even when it is not shown. I believe in God, even when he does not speak." In this man's darkest and most scariest moments, he still found something to believe in, something to place his hope in, something to be thankful for. It is through choosing to be grateful for the things that we do have that shifts our attention away from focusing on the things that we don't have or the things that we wish we had. It is by taking the time to notice the many blessings in our lives that pulls us out of any state of apathy or depression or any state of worry or despair. It helps us to focus on the positive things in our lives and to rejoice about them. The second story I wanted to share with you all this morning is about a seminary professor. His name was David Scholar, and he was a New Testament professor at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. He suffered from arthritis, diabetes, asthma. He, in 2002, was diagnosed with incurable colon cancer, which subsequently spread to both of his lungs. In spite of all of this, David survived beyond the expectations of the doctors, and he maintained a global ministry electronically and by paper correspondence, and he remained one of the most popular professors on the campus. Although David's body did not heal, nor did he expect it to, his illness taught him to be thankful for his friends and his family, all the people that he had met along the way. It taught him to be thankful for the energy to do the things that he loved, for the mere fact of being alive. Throughout everything David endured, he maintained an attitude of gratitude and was able to experience the abundance in his life. His gratitude for people and for being alive was enough to turn his fears and his tears into shouts of joy as he rejoiced about the many blessings in his life. The third story that I wanted to share with you all this morning is about a TED Talk that I recently watched. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with TED Talks. TED Talks is a nonprofit organization. It stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. And this organization, the slogan is spreading worthy ideas. And they do just that. They have produced numerous videos that cover a wide range of topics, and they all focus on spreading educational and informative information in a very concise manner. So there's short videos, they're about 10 to 18 minutes long, but they're very powerful. So the video that I was watching was called "The Joy of Surfing in Ice Cold Water." And it was about a photographer and his team who had spent many years traveling to the coldest and most remote areas of the world. And they would go there to go surfing, and he would photograph all of this. So throughout the video, you saw some of the photos. One of them was a shot of the surfers in the water, and behind them you can see huge snow-covered mountains. And then in another shot, there was a beach shot. You can see the surfers in the background, but there's these huge chunks of boulder-sized ice that were washed up on the shore. So the guy continued talking about his experiences, and he got to the point in his story where he talked about his experience in the Arctic Circle, in this tiny fjord that they were surfing in. So he said that they got into the water, and it was already very cold, and that it started to snow about the time they got in. So he was talking about how cold it had gotten to the point of where he no longer could feel his fingers to take the photographs. And he said he remembered a wind or a rush of wind coming through the fjord, and what had been a slight snowfall turned into a full-on blizzard. So he talked about how he lost perception of what was really occurring. He couldn't tell if he was drifting out to sea or if he was drifting towards shore. He said all he could hear was the sound of faint seagulls and crashing waves. The guy became borderline hypothermic, and his friends had to pull him out of the water. So when they told them this story later on, as he said, the friends told him that as they pulled them out of the water in his half-delirious hypothermic state, that he still had a smile on his face the entire time. And as this guy was telling about his experience, he finished by saying, there's something to smile about always. There's always something to rejoice about. He said, in that moment, frozen almost to the point of death and half delirious, I was thankful for the beauty of God's creation that was surrounding me. I was thankful for the opportunity to travel to all these places and do what I love. He said, in that moment, there was much to rejoice about. No matter what we may be facing in our lives, there is always something to be thankful for and to rejoice about. It is through choosing to be grateful for the things that we do have that shifts our attention away from focusing on the things that we don't have or the things that we wish we had. It is by taking the time to notice the many blessings in our lives that pulls us out of any state of apathy or despair or any state of worry. And it helps us to focus more on the parts of our lives that are good, the parts that are worth rejoicing about. It is by adopting an attitude of gratitude that allows us to experience and discover God's abundance in our lives. And this morning, on the first Sunday of our Advent season, we have much to be thankful for and to rejoice about as we spend these next several weeks celebrating and preparing for the birth of our Lord. We are reminded of the greatest blessing of them all, the birth of our Savior, who came and dwelt among us, who knows our pain, lived our sorrow, consoles us in our greatest times of need. No matter what difficulties we may ever face in our lives, our relationship with Christ is always something to rejoice about. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.